So as we continue, I just felt like we needed to continue in the book of Peter. And I was like, okay, Lord, how does this fit with Father's Day? And so he showed me. So I just want to start off with, you know, my daughter is in right now from Florida, and she's getting on a plane and going back to Florida, but she just gave me this card that says, Papa. Papa. And she spells it with a U. And it just melted my heart. And she just put this sentiment in about what I mean to her. Papa. Dad. I love that word. Dad. Hey, Dad. I know all the men in here, all the fathers in here, when you hear Dad, you know they're gonna want something, right? Hey, Dad, I need the car. Hey, Dad, can you help me out here? Hey, Dad. And Jesus had a special word for his, or a name for his father, Abba. Abba, this intimate connection. And not only did Jesus have this intimate connection, Jesus gave every one of us, not just the men, but every one of us, this connection to our spiritual father, and finally, Father. Our Father. As you hear that prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His name is hallowed. His name is honored. His name is revered. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever thought about what that would look like when that actually is happening? That's the church. That's the real church. Give us this day our daily bread. Just help us out today with all of our needs. Forgive us because we mess up, we screw up, we fall short. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, help us out. But Jesus covered all the bases in that prayer. So as we celebrate our spiritual Father, our challenge is how can we be like Him? How can we be like Jesus? How can we be with the Holy Spirit just enveloping us? So, you know, each year we give the dads something special. And today I thought about it. And what I really want to do is I just want to give you a scripture. And I got to tell you, I don't want to just give it just to the dads. And I don't want to just give it to the men. I want to give it to everybody. So I want everyone to come up here at the end of the service and take one of these. I'm just going to pull out one. Fathers. Do not provoke your children to anger. Boy, is this wisdom. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's wisdom. And that's not just for the dads, that's also for the moms, right? And that's not just for the dads and the moms, but it's also for the uncles. And it's also for the children, for the parents. It's universal. These scriptures are universal. It's wisdom for all of us. Let's glean some wisdom from Peter. Now, we've been talking about Peter. You know, Peter's not the perfect guy. Peter's a little impulsive at times. He gets kind of caught up. He's got that. One thing you can say about Peter is Peter's got passion. You know, Peter is there when they're ready to crucify Jesus. He's standing right outside the area when they bring him to court. Peter's the guy in the boat. He gets out of the boat. Peter is the guy who says, okay, let's go. Let's do this thing. I know a lot of people like that. Let's go. Let's do this thing. Peter has this passion. And he has this passion for the church because he wants the church to be the body of Christ. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Attitude. We need to arm ourselves with a better attitude. We need a better attitude every day. We need some help with our, can I get an amen? That we need some help with our attitude. That sometimes, you know, life just kind of comes down on us and there's all kinds of stuff going on and we get a little down. You know, my daughter, I was just telling you about, she gave me this book about if you're dealing with anxiety and depression, and mind you, I'm praying for my daughter coming back. And so she gives me this book about prayer. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. And I gotta tell you, this book is so cool. I love this little book. And it was actually published in Florida on the day she gave it to me. Somehow they make it that day. And it says that, you know, the way to deal with anxiety and depression is giving some thankfulness. Just finding out, first of all, listing, okay, what's bugging you? What's troubling you? Arm yourself with a better attitude here, and first of all, let's just speak it out. What's going on? You know, a lot of times when we're trying to help somebody out, we need to just first of all listen and hear what's going on. And a lot of times we just need to listen to ourselves and hear what's going on. And so you just write in this little journal what is troubling you. But then it says you counter that with some gratitude. What do you have to be thankful for? And boy, we have all kinds of stuff to be thankful for, don't we?
Yes.
On this Father's Day, we have children. On this Father's Day, we have fathers. We have our loving God, the Father. On this day, we have Jesus, and we can speak some Jesus into some lives. On this day, we have the Holy Spirit. And I haven't even gotten into the very breath we take. We have a lot to be thankful for. That's that attitude. Arm yourselves with the attitude of Jesus. And what was the attitude of Jesus? I tell you, it's really been put on my heart today. His attitude was about being a servant. What can I do for you? How can I go on that cross for you? How can I help you? How can I impart the Holy Spirit upon you? Jesus was and is the most selfless person ever to walk this planet. It was never, ever, ever about Jesus. It was always about you. Have you ever met somebody like that? They get that gift. They get that charisma. When they come up to you, they come into a room, they find people and they talk about that person. Well, how are you doing? And I mean, meaning like, how are you doing? Like, if you go down south, when they say, how are you, they mean, how are you? That person walks in the room and looks you in the eyes and says, how are you today? What's going on? When they want to find out about your life and about your family, when they want to find out what's troubling you, what's going on with you, that is the church. That is what we should be doing every day. We should be finding out about people so we can find out what they need to come to the Lord. We need to arm ourselves with a better attitude about ourselves, first of all, and about what our job is, what our mission is, and about how valuable we are, how worthwhile we are. Arm yourselves with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Well, you know what? Everybody is suffering in the body, aren't they? Everybody I talk to is suffering in some way. Everybody I talk to has some history going on. Everybody I talk to is struggling. And if we just understand that God is pulling us through, taking us through, we can be done with sin because we're on reliance. Next verse. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Now, Peter contrasts our earthly living with the will of God. And he not only contrasts the two, he says it's evil. What's so evil about human desires? Well, first of all, the desires are coming from where? Ourselves. And our desires about who? Ourselves. It's the exact opposite of what I was just talking about that person that comes in and says, how are you? They'd rather come over and it's like, I saw this recently, like a bad date where somebody is just talking. I saw a commercial where this person has like one of those cars. You can just hit the little clicker and then actually the car will come and pull itself up to the curb. And she's on this date with this guy, and this guy is just talking about himself and talking about his business, and she is just kind of glassing over, and because he's all about him, and she's just getting bored. So she hits her little clicker, and the car literally drives itself up. I don't know if cars can do that yet, but maybe they can. I guess they can. Marianne is saying, yeah, they can. And she just hops in her car, and before he knows it, she's gone. Before he knows it, she's gone. That's what happens when people see someone who is just about themselves. They're gone. They may not even physically leave, but in their mind, they're gone. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather the will of God. The will of God. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be rejoicing. He wants us to be thankful. He wants us to be the person that people want to come to. He wants us to be that person who's reaching into other people. That's the will of God. And He wants us to look at ourselves in a positive way and see that amazing creation that He has made in us. He wants us to see the Holy Spirit moving through us. He wants us to see our mission, our values. He wants us to see the church. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the church everywhere, universal, because we are the church continuing. Next verse. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. That is quite the list. Those are really bad things. But out of all of them, there's only one that Peter labels as detestable. Detestable idolatry. It's detestable to God when we put something else in His place. Why? You know, it's not like God is this egomaniac that has to have everybody worship Him and that He needs this. Why is He so, like, this is the first commandment. This is out of the Old Testament. This is what Jesus talks about. This is like the major, 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 major sin. Out of all the sins, and I mean, they're all bad, but this one is the worst. This one is detestable. Wow, that's a strong word. Meaning God doesn't like it. Meaning God actually hates it. Because you are substituting God the Father with something else. And why is He so concerned about that? Because He knows that it's going to turn out bad. He knows that you're going to go down the wrong road. He knows that you're not going to have any support. He knows that you're going to take these free gifts that He has for you and throw them away. He knows that you are going to be on your own. And there is nothing scarier than being on our own. And it's so senseless. When He's right here, He's right ready to help. He's right ready to connect to us. God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who created all things, is right here ready to connect to us, and we throw it away. That's why it's detestable to Him. He knows we need Him. It's not about, see, we're back to that again. It's not about Him. It's about you. Next verse. They are surprised. One more, Roman. Next one. You just hit the space bar. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Woo! I saw a head shaking back there. They heap abuse on you. They say, what's wrong with you? Why can't you get with the program? Why don't you want to have fun? Why don't you want to do this? Why don't you want to do that? And it's reckless. You know, when I went to that pace, I went up to the person who was behind the counter as we were leaving. And I tell you, all these people were so amazing. They were all smiling and, what is going on around here? I want to just stay here. And then I just asked the woman behind the counter, you know, hey, is there something I can pray about for you? She lit up like a Christmas tree, man. She said, you're going to pray for me? And she said, my daughter Emma, she's been moving in this reckless, coincidence, I think that. This reckless way of living, and I need to pray about her coming back to the Lord, coming back to sanity. Because, you know, all that stuff, it all looks good for a while. It all works for a minute. And then it all comes crashing down so hard. Because that's what God's talking about. I care about you. I don't want you to get reckless on me. I don't want you to get into all that mess. So I just took her hands and we just prayed. And she was so grateful. And I got to tell you, this is something I'm learning as we've been going through this disciple-making thing. That people are grateful when you pray for them. People are grateful when you introduce them to Jesus. People are grateful when you care about whether or not they have a connection with God the Father. People are grateful. The lie that the world tells you that you are bothering them is a lie. I need us to understand that we are doing the greatest service in the world when we talk to people. We need to help people pull them out of that recklessness. It is like a car wreck, and I can tell you about car wrecks. Been in five of them, six of them, I have lost count. Continuing. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And so, you know, we think first of all about, oh, okay, this is when we leave here and we're facing God the Father. But I don't think so. I think we give account every day. I think we give account every minute. I think we're talking to God and God's talking back to us like a parent. Very appropriate for Father's Day, like a dad saying, hey, to his daughter or to his son, look, I don't want you to get all reckless on me. I don't want to have to bail you out of jail. I don't want to have to get you off drugs. I think those people you're hanging around with that are just really bad for you. You have to give account for every move you make as you make them, because there are consequences in this world. And sometimes we dodge that bullet, and sometimes we don't have to face the consequence yet. But I guarantee you, we will be facing God the Father at the end of time when we are at our end of time. I think of it like he's going to show me this movie strip. Oh. Yeah, I remember that. Oh. Yeah, that wasn't too smart now, was it? Oh, yeah. That was bad behavior. Oh, yeah, that group of guys? Yeah, I shouldn't be hanging around with them. Oh, that thought? And that thought? And that thought, it's going to be like a movie strip. And I often talk about it, and what's going to happen as that movie's playing, and I'm going to have to give account that Jesus is going to walk up to me, and he's going to stand next to me, and he's going to put his hand on my shoulder and say, Father, this one, Tom, I died for him. And all of a sudden that movie projector's gonna stop. Like, almost like the film broke, okay? And all of a sudden, it's just going to go up in flames. It's just going to disintegrate. And it'll be gone. Wiped clean. Continuing. Next verse. Just hit the space bar. One more time. Last verse. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. We need to hear this. You know, we might be judged for all the things we do on this earth. We may have to even go to court. We may have to face a judge. I've been there, done that. That's no fun. We may have to deal with our consequences. We may have to look in the eyes of the person we offended. We will have consequences in the body, and they will be ongoing. And some people are just like dead to it. Their conscience is dead. We talked about conscience last week. But their conscience is going to wake up. And they will have to face. And even if it doesn't, they don't wake up, they're still going to have to face their consequences. In the body. But in the Spirit. In the Spirit that is connected to God the Father. In the Spirit where we reign supreme. In the Spirit where Jesus is putting his hand on our shoulder and saying, this one is mine today, not just at the end of time, but of our time, but in the Spirit. So what I have to say is, as we look at Father's Day, to all the men, be a spiritual father. Not just the dads, but be a spiritual father, like my friend Rob of that men's group. I wrote him a little text because after we were there, on Thursday, and he just loves these guys. He just loves them. I love being there because I just watch what's going on. And he says, Tom, I just love these guys. I just want to do whatever I can. I just want to help them, guide them, lead them. I'm nothing. I don't know anything. I don't have all that education. I just love these guys, and I know God loves me, and God loves them. That's it. And boy, he's just summed it up. Those are a very blessed group of guys to have somebody that loves them that much, not just the father, but a human, spiritual father. So I wrote him a little text, and I said, on this Father's Day, Rob, I want you to know that you are a spiritual father to all those men. And he is. So my challenge for all of us men is to be a spiritual father. If you have a son or daughter, by all means, be a spiritual father as you pour into them. If you don't have a son or daughter at this stage in your life, be a spiritual father to somebody else. And it doesn't even have to be a child. It can be another guy. Those guys are supporting one another. Somebody was talking to me the other day about the church. Like, why do you have to be at the church? You have to be at the church because you need the support. You gotta be at the church because you gotta praise God. You gotta be at the church because you need the Holy Spirit. You gotta be at the church because you need Jesus. And we need each other. So this doesn't just go for the guys. I want this to be universal. This goes for the women as well. We just talked about it last month about Mother's Day, but on this Father's Day, be a spiritual mother. Help somebody find their way. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that you are our spiritual father. We thank you that you love us so much that you wipe the slate clean each and every day. We thank you, dear Father God, when we face you and that film strip is playing, is just going to dissolve away as Jesus walks into the picture. We thank you, dear Father God, that you have trusted us to be a spiritual father to somebody else, a spiritual mother to somebody else. Help us to take that responsibility very seriously. And help us go forward and be the church. Help us to be that place of all smiles where everybody's happy and everybody cares about the other person more than themselves. I thank you, dear Father God, that you've entrusted this mission to us. May we perform it faithfully, and may we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We ask all of this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Have an amazing day. Go and be a spiritual father. Be a spiritual mother. Come up, grab a verse. I just have a feeling God has something to tell you as you grab a verse up. Grab one up, take it home, contemplate it, and see what God has to say to you personally. God bless you. Have an amazing week. We are dismissed.